You're listening to the 8-4 Comics Podcast, sponsored by StashMyComics.com and our local comic book shop in Roanoke, Virginia, BNDComics.com. And now, here's your hosts, Matt Barrett and Neil Rickman.
Hello, Bumblebee Tuna. Welcome to episode 5 of 8-4 Comics Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Barrett, and with me is...
Neil Rickman.
And we are here to do what we do every week. Talk about comics. We got a couple comics that we have swapped. Neil has loaned me Green Lantern Corps number 0, and from my pile he picked Avengers Academy number 6. Now if you guys remember correctly, in the last episode we promised we would do a grab bag type thing, and that's what we basically did, although Neil was a little upset I didn't have a physical bag for him to draw from.
Hey man, I had like a dice scheme and everything, and a d4 you had to roll. The most dangerous die in all of gaming.
Yeah, my process was kind of lame in comparison. I must admit.
I thought it was awesome.
Oh. I did a shuffle and I told him to pick a number between 1 and 4.
I like that.
Okay.
It was very David Blaine.
Yes. Well, and then for the special feature, we didn't have anything planned. And last week you had mentioned, or actually it was early this week, you said, we got to talk about Scott Summers. After the Avengers versus X-Men event, was he in the right or was he in the wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh. I mean, I know what I feel, but okay. I don't know what, you know, majority of people are feeling.
Yeah.
I think the majority might. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Anything else on your mind, Neil, before we get started?
I love comics.
Yes.
And I'm a kid again, thanks to watching about the first hour of Superman.
Ah.
The original.
The original
Christopher Reeve Superman.
Yes. A classic. And you also had a nice little stack of comics you shared with me, and one of them was signed. Would you like to mention the comic and the person who signed it for you? Shout out?
Yeah. To give you a little bit of a background on that, I was at Balticon, and basically I met the guys from Stuff of Legend, is a book he's talking about. And I got it here. We'll pull it out just because I love looking at this cover. As a matter of fact, the guys there, I don't know if you guys ever go to cons out there or not, but as you know, if you want to meet the big creators, you got to stand in these long lines. I go to Indie Alley a lot. And I met these guys doing Stuff of Legend, and it's kind of a book. They described it very well to me as Saving Private Ryan meets Toy Story. And Charles Paul Wilson III, the guy who does the art, actually signed it for me and talked me up a bit. And it's one of those things where I bought their books the night prior, mm-hmm. read them all. Anyway, it was like two books, but they read pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically, I had to gush over it the next day. I went right back to their booth first thing at the con. That's all I could think about. And that says a lot when you're at a con. I mean, there's lots to do and you're thinking about a lot of things, but I couldn't get them off my mind, so...
Yeah, it's a really good read. What's the company?
It's actually Third World Publishing.
Okay.
The Third World Studios, actually. I just want to say Third World, but it's
right.
The Third World Studios. And you can look it up at www.thirdworld.com. And third is spelled thirdworld.com. It's an odd spelling.
Yeah, and it's a $4.99 for the first one, and it's not in your regular comic book format. It actually reminds me more of like a children's book,
well,
which
is fitting. It's akin to Mouse Guard.
Right.
Like folks that know Mouse Guard, it's the same format.
Right.
So.
Yeah, really amazing art if you're into sort of if you like Toy Story, but it's not quite dark enough for you, perhaps you should try this book.
Yeah, I'd say that.
All right, well, last week I thought I would mention... because this has been dominating my reading list. I told you I was on vacation, and I was lucky enough to come across a yard sale, and a guy had a gigantic collection of Fantastic Four. He was giving away for next to nothing. So I have almost the entire, well, starting in 2002 to present day, I have just about the complete run of Fantastic Four, so that encompasses Warren and Wade and Hickman and whoever else was in between there. But I've been going through that like 3-4 issues a night, loving it.
You hit a treasure chest there, because that run has been Fantastic Four. I mean, it's had slow times, it's had go times. Hickman's run been very go time. I mean, even Miller and Hitch, did he have any Miller and Hitch in that that you could, that kind of ramped into it for you, or?
If they happen to be sort of in between stages there, they're most definitely in there. There's only about dozen or so issues I'm missing of that entire
They
run.
Ramped right into it. It would be numbers before the Hickman started.
Okay, then it's probably in there.
Yeah. They ramped into it nicely, and I think Hickman throws some Hickman and Epting is a team there, and I think they throw some references back to it early on. They do some things nicely off of what Miller had kind of ramped on.
Yeah, really really liking this. So that's what's going on with us. You guys are welcome to tell us what's going on with you, of course, if you go to the StashMyComics.com website and go to our little podcast. You are free to comment on the board, and we love comments there. And that's really the best place to sort of interact with us if you choose to do so. So, with
love to
that,
hear from y'all.
What's that?
I said, love to hear from y'all.
Yes, love to hear from y'all. Please.
Got to say it, y'all. Representing Southwest Virginia.
Technically in the South, yes.
Southwest Virginia, So.
All right, we'll move on to the comic swap.
Comic Swap.
And the first book we're going to talk about is Green Lantern Corps number 0. And right when I remembered that this was a Peter J. Tomasi book, I instantly knew I would probably like it, despite the fact that one of my least favorite characters graces the covers.
I promise you I didn't pick this book to try and sway you. I just thought it was a very strong read.
It is.
And it impressed me as a fan of Gardner, as Guy Gardner is my favorite Lantern. I know you haven't been too fond of him, I guess, but...
We'll talk about this, but I sort of am now. This is obviously Peter J. Tomasi does the writing here. Fernando Passerin does the pencils. Scott Hanna and Mark Deering the inkers. Gabe Eltabe, the colorist. Dave Sharp, the letterer. This is really good art, first of all. And I love... The Green Lantern Corps, the Green Lantern in general, always seems to have really good artists. At least the past few years that I've been sort of dipping in and out of Green Lantern.
When you look at Green Lantern and what Green Lantern Rebirth really did for DC as a whole, I mean, Green Lantern's been strong since Johns took its reins. I mean, it's kept that quality, and they tried to keep it throughout all the books. I haven't really had any books I was like, well, that was a real stinker since that started. That's been years and years ago now.
Yeah.
So I'm impressed at the longevity and the staple of quality they've been able to keep on this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this one starts out with a young Guy Gardner with shaggy hair. Now, is this a younger Guy Gardner, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, because you don't really recognize him so much from the hair. He's got the old uniform on without the collars and such. And
yeah, he hasn't even earned his Lantern insignia. It's just a big white circle on his chest.
Correct.
He's still just a rook.
And he's having... I'm not going to go page by page on this book, but to make a long story short, this is sort of a retelling of the backstory of Guy Gardner. And it starts off with the battle scene, and you get to see... sort of him in the thick of things, and then we quickly have a flashback to his life. And I don't know how much of this history is coming from previous Guy Gardner, but apparently he is from a long lineage of policemen.
Yeah, and correct me, now, this is my feelings on this. After reading this and letting it simmer a minute, I've had time to think, this very much reminded me of like a Martin Scorsese film almost. You remember The Departed? Did you ever see The Departed?
It felt
the police story goes.
Yeah, I have seen it.
It reminds me a lot, like, of its direction and how this plays out. I mean, it was pretty phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I really, you know, Guy Gardner's old story pre-52 was a football star, you
right.
know, and that, while that's okay, I thought this was everything in this, from coming from a cop family, having everybody else be so successful, and him having, so, without ruining it, things happened that kind of put him in a bad spot in his family's, pretty much his father's eyes, and just with the whole city of Baltimore, even.
Mm-hmm.
You get a sense of why he is he is who he is for a reason.
Yeah.
He's that kind of schmarky Lantern for a reason. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, whereas before, to me, he was always the jock, the jerk jock that would pick on you in high school. And then despite being, you know, very popular and good at football, he also got to carry around a Green Lantern ring and do all kinds of great stuff. And that's probably why I hated him the most, was I really felt that this was a guy that didn't deserve a ring. And they've kind of gone back and changed my opinion on this based upon sort of the hardships that he has. They don't even really focus on the athletic thing at all. It's really a good cop story, but it's a good family story. And anybody with issues is going to dig
do
this.
Do you think DC realized how they might have been, they were a little pro-bully with this character, maybe.
Yeah.
And with today's anti-bullying, which is a great thing that's, you know, finally come about after years, how many years, but they cleaned it up, and they cleaned it up very much for the better. I'll take this guy, Gardner, any day over the old one as far as origin goes, and just really love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted this story to convince me that Guy Gardner deserved a ring, and it did that. And then towards the end, we get a little bit more of current-day Guy, including how he got his outfit, which is different from most of the other Lanterns, and also a brief meeting with Hal Jordan, which is pretty humorous, and some interaction with Kilowog, which is
I'll say this ties right in. What happens in this book ties right in to what's going on. And some of these books have been doing it at the Zeros. They tie it in really nice. This one ties in better than some I've read into the current storyline. So it wasn't a throwaway. It wasn't like, hey, pay us extra money for the Zero.
Right.
They did a really good job at making you relate more to their character and tied it into what's going on currently.
Now, has the Third Army has begun, correct?
Yep, and it's okay. Creepier than, I would say, Blackest Night, to me.
Wow.
And I'm not going to go too far into that. People will understand, I think, once there's some stuff going on, at least this month, October, that I'm like, whoa, that's creepy.
You know, it's almost a shame that they haven't. I feel like this Third Army thing has been a little overshadowed by the Batman stuff going on. I almost wish they'd have waited to do the Joker thing until this is over.
Yeah, I have a feeling that as creeped out as I was with this, I don't know this. It's going to be as strong because of that, because it is living in the shadow of the Joker, which, you know, that's a pretty long shadow that's being cast.
But. Yeah. All right. Well, score wise, I mean, I got to give this art a 9 out of 10. It's just about perfect, and so I wouldn't give it a 10 only because maybe there's just, I don't know. Maybe I should give it a 10. It's really good.
It was good. I mean, for me, I'm a Guy Gardner fan. I wouldn't give it a 10, I think, because it's just a Zero issue.
Right.
You know, while it does tie nicely what's going on, it does tie in the current, it does its job very nice with the origin, it's not going anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, and it doesn't, you can't, I would say that you can't really just read that as a standalone either.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you could come into that and read as a standalone? I don't know.
Yeah, if you didn't know any history, it would be tough.
As far as the Green Lantern Corps goes, it doesn't, yeah, it's not really, I don't know. I guess I'm arguing it. Heck, give it a 10.
Yeah.
I'm stretching just to argue it. I feel like, hey, just, I don't know, because we don't, it feels like we throw out high scores, but it's because we trade good books.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, story 9 out of 10, art 9 out of 10. This is a super solid book, and so much so, and a book like that will get a score for me if I would really like to continue on with it. And sometimes I get to, sometimes I don't. This is one I really would like to, or at least get, it has at least gotten me into this Third Army story.
While I was trying to argue out of 10s, I'm going to give it 10s.
Okay.
Because I was thinking, well, maybe it didn't get me emotionally. You know, it's going for an emotion. It actually got me emotionally.
Yeah.
His relationship with his family did touch on an emotion. I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10 on both levels because I can.
Yeah. It succeeded in getting me to not only like Guy Gardner, but to care more about this event that's going on. So, a success in my eyes. That is Green Lantern number 0. Check it out if you want to become a Guy Gardner fan and hated him like I did. Not that I'm like a huge fan now, but I understand it more. Anyhow, moving on, I loaned Neil Avengers Academy number 6, and I know that you had mentioned to me before that this was something you had thought about picking up.
I have had them in my hand. I have had the trades for Avengers Academy in my hand it's something that I've been told was a great read, you know, a great journey even, by just different people, and I've never picked it up. And I, after reading this, there's certain times in the comic book verse that you will feel dumb for maybe not picking up an issue, or, you know, like, oh, this new series, Walking Dead, looks pretty good, you know, these zombies. Ah, it's just, you know, whatever. And then you go, oh, man, it's such a great series. What was I thinking? This, I got that feeling with this. Avengers Academy number 6. Writer is Christopher Gage. Am I saying that right?
I think so.
Mike McCone is the penciler and cover artist, which I really like the art.
He's really good, yeah.
Is colorist Jeremy Cox. Letterer, we'll even go to Joe Caramanga. All right. And I think and inkers, wow, they've got a really, really, they got like 4 inkers on this.
Wow. You don't really notice it, but.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, a great team, I think. And I'm wondering, do you know, does this team, is it pretty consistent, the at least the Gage and the McCone as far as art and writer goes?
I believe so. I want to say McCone's on a majority of these, and I can't say for sure. I probably should have done more research. But it's been a while since I've actually read this particular issue. Probably the last one I read was number 1 because it was free through the Marvel app. And before that, I had obviously read this, but I read somewhere in the 30s, was really getting into it. And then I found out they were going to cancel it, and I thought, well, there's no sense in picking up the single issues anymore. I might as well just go back to the trade.
Now, I will say to you, and I don't think it's the same team, unfortunately, it's that Hopeless, that the guy I keep saying the last name is Hopeless, is going to be the writer on Avengers Arena, which is supposed to reprise a lot of these guys.
Okay.
But also some of the Runaways in that book. It's supposed to be very Hunger Games, Battle Royale.
Okay.
For the folks out there that like the I'm a teenager on an island, I'm fighting for my life type story.
Yeah.
So these guys are going to be put in kind of a arena event almost. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how my journey went into this comic. So I'm like, on the cover, there's Tigra fighting Reptile. Is that how you, or is it, yeah, it's not Reptile because it's about the E, so it's Reptile, I want to say.
I think so, yeah.
And I tell you, my only experience with this guy was the Marvel Superhero Squad, which I catch on the hub just because I'm waiting for something to come on.
Right.
Not a big fan because I don't have that sense of humor of fart jokes from my heroes, and I mean, it's great for the kids, and you know, I understand that's where it's going from, but that's my experience. I was like, what is this guy doing? And I was like, man, get this Joker out of here. Read this, I love the character. This is all about the character Reptile and this team of Young Avengers. I don't want to call it Young Avengers, that's another, but Avengers Academy.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah,
Young, do not get this confused with Young Avengers. While that was a great thing into its own, this is different. But Avengers Academy has great, great characters, like Metal, who looks like just a really strong guy, Vale, who looks like she turns into some kind of vapor, Finesse, who seems to be some kind of genius, and then Hazmat, who throws some kind of toxin.
Yeah.
I didn't get a great feel for all of them, however, because this story in particular is all about Reptile, who's just been promoted to the new leader of the team, the field leader, right, as it were, of the team. And it is all about him. Apparently, they just figured out that the Avengers weren't putting together because they thought they were going to be the next great Avengers. It's because they thought they were going to be the next great villains, so they wanted to prevent that, and were trying to condition them.
Exactly.
Yep. And Reptile knows this, and not everybody else does, it seems like. And he is trying to balance knowing that and also trying to fulfill his childhood dream of becoming an Avenger. This was always a dream of his. It shows in this book very clearly from his childhood on. He had dreamed of being an Avenger. It had come true. But now he's got to deal with the fact that this came true. I feel like I'm spoiling too much. But with the dialogue in this is the real treasure. I'm not really giving too much away because once you get into it, you realize it's a plot.
Right.
It's following. But it's all about him dealing with his dreams came true. But it's not really coming about like he thought it was. He wasn't picked for maybe the reasons he thought he was being picked, right, or would have liked to have been picked. The art is fantastic. The expressions, they put me right in the character's heartbreak, anguish, and even their enjoyment. Their expressions remind me a little bit of one of my favorite artists, McGuire from Justice League International, mm-hmm. who does the really weird character. He's very good at expressions, right. even when it's satirical facial expression. This artist, it's McCone. And I haven't seen anything. I need to read more of his. He does a great job. So I guess bottom line for me, this. I mean, if you like, you know what, Teen Titans can go somewhere. You need to read this. Not to knock the Titans. I'm sure they've got great stuff. But I haven't heard of anything come out of them this phenomenal in a while.
Yeah.
And this, it's a hidden treasure. Pick up the trades. Get into Avengers Arena when it pops. Hopefully it's as good. And hopefully if we pick up the singles, that it won't get canceled, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
it almost reads to me like an X-Men title. Like
it should be, like an feel. X-Men title should read.
Exactly, yeah. It's got that, you know, kids in school, kids in training type feel, and except this time it's the Avengers, so maybe on a little bit higher level. Not that the X-Men are lower, but let's face it, the X-Men are sort of tweeners. They're sort of vilified to a certain degree and almost operate separately, well, especially now since the Avengers versus X-Men.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yes, we will. That would have been a good segue. But
so, I mean, here goes another 10 out of 10 from Neil. I love comics. I can't give a bad score. I don't know. I guess maybe our goal should be is to get kind of a controversial, whether maybe next time we'll decide on books that we think may or may not, if we can find something that's on that line of being a good book or not, and see what the other person thinks. But 10 out of 10, I mean, the dialogue's there, the art's there, the writing, I mean, the layouts are there in this book, especially issue 6. It's a great, thank you, because that was a great starter.
Sure.
If someone was wanting to get into the series, if you can just go to your comic shop and find Avengers Academy number 6, do it. You won't be disappointed. It was the synopsis in the beginning, that, you know, they give those sometimes now.
Right.
Was great. Some of them aren't so great. This one was just gave it to me. Of course, it is the 6th issue, so it didn't have a lot to go through, but it did a great job at getting me through the first 5 just reading that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, for me, story-wise, about a 9, and same with art. So, another solid read. But we tend to pick those. We don't want to give each other crap books.
I feel like a softie. Just give it a 10. But I liked it that much. Yeah.
If you like it.
I will say that I went ahead and I emailed B&D, and I was like, hey, any of that you got on the shelf, go ahead and put it in the cubby. It's coming home. So I'll let you borrow them, Matt, if you want to read more into them. If you want to get your own because you liked it so much, please do.
That might be, maybe Santa will bring it to me.
Awesome.
1, 2, 3. StashMyComics.com is the leading free online interactive comic book database. Catalog your comics and track prices, character, and creator appearances. Follow the daily blog reviews, editorials, and a weekly podcast. Connect with other fans through member reviews and discussion forums. Keep abreast of site updates on Twitter at StashMyComics and find us on Facebook. StashMyComics.com, powered by Geek Energy.
Nailed it.
Okay, so special feature. We're going to be talking about specifically we're going to be talking about Scott Summers, a.k.a. Cyclops from X-Men, and the terrible thing which happened. I hope you guys have read the Avengers vs. X-Men because we're going to spoil the heck out of it.
Spoiler alert, yes. Hugely here. Turn off this podcast if you're really wanting to read it yourself, find out exactly what happens. Avengers vs. X-Men is about to get spoiled.
Yeah. So we all, as we all know who have read it, Professor X was killed, vaporized.
He was killed probably the deadest deader.
He was barbecued
that I've ever seen maybe any character get.
Right. Who, of course, was not in his right mind. He was the Dark Phoenix. And in number 12, they sort of wrapped up the storyline, but we got to see some of the trouble that Cyclops got in. I guess he's prisoner now, is he not?
He is.
He's being held somewhere, and he's got a special contraption around his eyepiece, so he obviously can't blast his way out. But he seems pretty resigned to what has happened to him, and he almost seems happy, to which Captain America does not like very much and becomes very rude. Rude Captain America.
Yeah. So, here's my problem, okay? With the whole, let's be brutal to Cyclops, okay? there's a few problems with this, and I speak as someone growing up who didn't think much of him, thought he was too bossy, thought he was, you know, too much of a stickler, and yeah. But to me, he was always the leader of the X-Men, except for when Storm had a mohawk and beat him in the face. Very much thought she deserved to be leader at that point, and probably much thereafter. But, you know, I always thought he had a spot there. He always had a spot at the top. He was very tactical. But when you look at Scarlet Witch, she has a very checkered past. And guess what? The first hero team that I can recall she was on was the Avengers. Did they own up to that after she, like, pretty much annihilated the mutant race? Oh, that's okay. But, you know, here we go with Scott trying to fix it, or yeah, what he thinks will fix it. And of course it goes haywire, yes. But when Jean Grey got the Phoenix, everybody's like, oh, Jean. Oh, they were all trying to help her, not beat her in the face.
Mm-hmm.
He has really been put out there. And of all people to be a jerk to him, Captain America, the other know-it-all and stickler, you know. I have a very big problem with this, because I'd been like Captain America the past few years, started not liking him again with this, with just his position of, let's bully on Scott Summers while he's chained up. Yeah. After the Phoenix Force got into his mind and corrupted him. I mean, oh, well, you know, if it was Jean, it would be forgiven. Yeah. If it was Jean Grey, oh, Jean, she couldn't help it. They're like, well, he brought it on. He was trying to save his entire race.
Yeah.
And guess what? He did.
Yeah. Mission accomplished.
Granted, they paid some prices. But if you ask me, even though Charles might not like the way Scott was going, you know, well, the Dark Phoenix was going about it.
Right.
It did what he would have wanted.
Yeah.
He would have wanted the mutant race to not be going on the verge of extinction.
Yeah. Would he have sacrificed himself to save the mutant race? Absolutely yes. 100 times over. Yeah, I agree with you. And
then Wolverine of all... All right.
Yeah, Wolverine's mad at him too, isn't he?
I'm not going to talk about... There is some... Okay, are you going to be on for Uncanny Avengers?
I don't know yet. Did you read...
I read the first one.
Okay.
And I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to say that Wolverine could kind of shut the hell up.
Uh-oh.
Sorry for the H-E double hockey stick there, but he got on my last nerve. I just started liking him thanks to Uncanny X-Force. Kind of made me mad with Uncanny Avengers. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if I want to read that book anymore, because everybody's making me mad in it. I mean, it's weird for me in this position to be on Scott Summers' side with this.
Yeah, I feel the same way, because... Much like Guy Gardner, he was a character I did not like, but after this event, I, like you, found myself sort of rooting for him and feeling bad for his situation and understanding him a little bit more. I don't like that Wolverine's being this way either. He has really no room to talk. If anybody has a dark, checkered past with questionable actions, a.k.a. the entire Uncanny X-Force run, and every other Wolverine book.
I was like, what? There's no way.
Yeah.
I just don't even...
It'll blow over, but you know what I'm almost hoping for is that this will turn into a rogue separate group of X-Men. Maybe perhaps... Well, we know where Colossus is going to be. We've seen the cover. But maybe Frost and Magic and some of the others that are still on the run, I'm hoping they'll like bust him out or something to start their own
extreme
X-Men type.
I would very much like to see that.
Shoot, there's already that book. Sorry.
Well, I mean...
I said Extreme X-Men.
Something
like that.
Yeah, you know, along those lines. But I'm just so curious that not every... I'm wondering just who is on Scott's side, aside from people that had the Phoenix in, because, of course, you know, they're going to be like, hey, we were possessed too, yeah, let's stick together.
Yeah.
But I'm not... Here's the other thing. I'm not trying to condone it. I could see the argument of, okay... He made his own choice. He was trying to bring the Phoenix on, even though he knew what that entailed. Okay, he saw what it did to Jean. He knew the darkness that came with it. He should not have went that route to try and revitalize his race. Okay, I understand that. But anybody that had a better idea could have stepped up. You know, and they're kind of addressing some things with Uncanny Avengers, that which is good. They're kind of addressing some things I thought, and some things Captain states, which is basically, hey, where were we when you all needed help? Yeah, where have the Avengers been? Every time the X-Men have been up against the wall, hunted, where have they been?
Mm-hmm.
So they left it to Scott to think it up by himself, and it wasn't a great plan. It was probably the worst idea he's ever had, but he had to make that call. He had the entire future of his race on his shoulders, and no one really stepped in to give him any suggestions of how to help his race. They just said, no, don't do this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had to have looked at Hope and thought that there had to have been some correlation between this. I mean,
of course.
How else can you justify the fact that Hope was born and protected and the savior of the mutant race, and then here comes the Phoenix Force, and she can control every other power, and there was too much in there for him not, I think, to make that move. You know, whether or not it was the right move or not, I think he had to make that move. He just had to.
I'm pro Cyclops. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be locked up even, but they are browbeating him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, lock him up. Yes, okay, I see. Yes, he murdered a man. He murdered one of the greatest, you know, what would you call Professor X? Just to see, he was like the Gandhi of the mutant. It's like, of course, okay, yes, put him in prison. But then to talk down to him after, okay, Cap, you and your buddy Tony started the civil war that tore up America. Yeah, you, none of you are angels.
Yeah.
You know, you've all had some really bad decisions. Yet, oh, it's Cyclops. Let's beat up on him.
I like how Cyclops is okay with it, though. I like that he's just like, well.
He's had to deal with Wolverine for how long? He's had to be okay with someone talking crap the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it is. He's everybody's talked to him like crap for how long, in my opinion. I mean,
if anything, this proves his leadership ability, because he made a hard choice despite everybody saying, no, don't do this, no, don't do this, you're wrong. Maybe who I'm trying to think who was on his side on this, even. Obviously Hope to a certain degree. Was Emma on board with this plan?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the X-Men were initially. Okay. You look at who had his back initially, and then when it started going wrong, we turncoated.
Yeah,
which I understand. Okay, they were like, things are out of control, it's gotten dark, and now we're worried. I understand that. I can't really fault them for it, but I can fault them for letting them treat him like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was trying his best. Things went horribly wrong. Like, none of them have ever had that happen. I mean, everybody in all the X-Men have had some drama story where they've had some plan and it went incredibly wrong.
Right.
But
I think the bigger point is he has saved the mutant race. Now there are mutants popping up all over again. Captain America, any of those guys would have done the same thing to save the human population. But because it's mutants, they're just kind of like, nah, we probably shouldn't have done that. It's okay now. We'll just put you in jail.
Well, Cap, this is kind of, to not ruin anything, but Cap's kind of putting together Uncanny Avengers to say, well, we'll make it better now.
Yeah.
After the fact, you know. Right. If he would have had this idea before, well, he's at fault too. And I think he even mentions that I take part in his blame. Well, who's talking crap to you, Cap?
Yeah.
Who sits Cap down, jail. You know?
Yeah.
You know, even when Cap was a fugitive in Civil War, sorry, spoilers galore here. So, you know, if you haven't read these crossovers or years old, be warned, there's lots of spoilers to be had in this one. But even when he was considered a fugitive for not registering, they brought him in. It was a very dignified thing. Everybody's like, oh, Captain America. He's like, sorry, we have to arrest you, Cap.
Yeah.
Cyclops is like, get down, spread them, you know, like, assume the position, bub, you know. Like, it was just horrible.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you want, next swap, Uncanny Avengers.
Okay.
I can let you get a taste of that. You can tell folks what you think about what happens in there.
All right.
Because, I mean, I feel like I'm watching The Young and the Restless here. This is drama.
Well, I imagine Consequences is going to address a lot of
it's
this.
It's people being jerks. I mean, just flat out and simple. I'm like, you bunch of hypocrites.
Oh, yeah. Totally. You know, I'm also curious to see how the all-new X-Men are going to fold in with this. Are you're familiar with that title coming out, are you not? With the group of Avengers from the past coming to the present?
Yes.
Now, who,
you mean X-Men, the group of Avengers.
What did
X-Men
I say, Avengers?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, we're doing the crossover. It's a group of X. It's like the first class team, basically, coming.
Right. And yeah. I know it's comprised of Jean Grey,
Cyclops, which is going to be Beast. Interesting because he's going to see himself persecuted. Beast, he's
like whoa,
Iceman, Angel. It was like five of them. Yeah,
yeah. I was wondering how Jean Grey would relate. You know, seeing old Cyclops and new.
I'm
Cyclops.
Worried. I think at this point, Cyclops sees us go. Man, heck with this. There ain't no helping y'all. You know, I'm gonna be a hero for hire.
Can we go back? That's to the past?
Cyclops, hero for hire from now on. It's like you pay me, you shoot up mutant race.
If this is the way I have to get Jean Grey, then I'm going to read the book. I was really hoping
it's Bendis, so hopefully he's back to his, you know, he's had a slump, and I don't know if it's whether they've been writing him into the ground or what. I really think it is, but hopefully if they ease off him, he can concentrate on a couple titles and do great on it.
I wonder.
It's Bagley, too. Put that out. It's Bagley and Bendis again, I believe.
Hopefully not rushed Bagley. Like the Avengers Assemble books.
Exactly.
Because yeah. Two different Bagleys.
Oh, no.
There's really good Bagley, and then there's I'm Rushed Bagley.
All I can think of is Ultimate Spider-Man, the original, and I want things they work on to be that good again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, I feel like a Debbie. Anyway.
So what are you on board for the new stuff? Obviously, you said you picked up Uncanny... Avengers.
Okay, Avengers, Indestructible Hulk.
Indestructible Hulk, the arena one.
The Avengers arena. I'm really wanting to pick up Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Of course, that's not till spring, I believe, so you got some time there.
Yeah, they're going to probably ramp that up to be good so that the movie forthcoming can carry over some success there.
The cover looks amazing. I'll tell you, if Rocket Raccoon has a bigger gun than that...
It looks like the old bazooka.
Yeah, how does he carry this? Yeah. He must be a really, really strong raccoon.
Well, that's the whole reason I read it. Anybody knows me knows I'm reading it for the anamorphic characters.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you like talking? It's all about Star Fox. There's nothing funny about it. But...
What about Thunderbolts?
Thunderbolts?
I told you I'm picking that up.
I can't.
Can't do it?
It's had such a up and down, and watch, it's going to be phenomenal the whole time because I'm not picking it up.
I'll let you know.
Oh, I know it's going to, the Red Hulk and all the, yeah, it's going to be great. And I'm just going to be like, hum-de-doo.
I've got,
I really want to pick up the Red She-Hulk. I really am tempted to.
Yeah. And is that out? That's out now, isn't it? 58, starting with 58.
Started, and I think it's supposed to renumber?
I don't know. I think it's been solicited for 58 and 59 so far, so it might just,
they're like, we're not renumbering. Yeah. Go on.
Which is really confusing. This would be the perfect time to renumber it. They're renumbering everything else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wish I could say that, you know, I'm very excited for Rucka anymore, but Rucka's leaving.
He's gone.
Love the Punisher for what he's done on it.
So you're not going to read Warzone?
Oh, Warzone, he's doing that. Like, he's already had it in the can, or he's doing that, and then he's gone. That's what I understood. Okay. And that definitely reading that, anything he's doing, I'm hoping he doesn't just garble it up because he's mad, you know, like angry writing, which could work on the Punisher, however. But maybe he goes overboard with it.
There might be some hidden gems.
Maybe Garth
in
Ennis
there.
Looks at it and goes, whoa.
Yeah. Like,
that would be something.
I would be on the Ennis lookout.
Go, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely be on the lookout for slams against Marvel in that Warzone book.
Oh, man.
Subtle digs at the comic book industry.
Yeah, indeed. Are you with? All right, we took Cyclops aside. Are you with or against Rucka for his part? For you that don't know, that he's parting with the big two because he says they're not putting out quality; they're going for quantity and speed, which I see.
Yeah, no, I get that side of it. I don't agree with creators airing their dirty laundry on the way out, so to speak. I think
really,
yeah. Well,
I'm all about
unless
it.
They want. I mean, if they want to burn a bridge, which is what a lot of these creators seem to be doing, that's fine and do their own thing. But I don't know.
I think if you're good enough, if you're really good, you can never burn a bridge though, because they'll see that it's all about that money. They know it.
You're right. I mean, and any of the companies would probably welcome him back once the dust is settled. But I don't know.
Look, Liefeld, they keep bringing him back. He says ridiculous things.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see, you know, I love the talents that are out there, but it seems a lot of Marvel's guys are really, their top talents are way overworked. I think it's time to start bringing in some new guys and giving them a shot. I mean, how else are they going to get their feet wet?
Yeah, that's true.
They've kind of been rotating with the same, you know, handful of guys for a while, and it's obvious by some of the books that, that these guys are way overworked and aren't able to put out their best stuff. Maybe it's time to start growing the talent pool. There's
maybe,
plenty out
and
there.
That, and not being as complacent with Hollywood. You know, I feel like a lot of the big two with the big movies, they feel like, well, we've got this mainstream success now to another level entirely with these movies. You know, now it's just a big party in the office, or, you know, or just push out this many more to get the numbers because people are going to buy it because they loved our movies. A lot of them, I think, are forgetting the dreaded 90s collapse.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about it. I know, you know, I've talked to other fans who are concerned because we love our titles. We want that quality to stay. We want to love our books. We don't want to go, oh, man, this again. Like, yeah. We don't want to look at it going, I guess I got to read this. Because, yeah. I mean, I've had some titles like that, and it's sad because you love the characters. You remember the good times, so you read through the bad times. And it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
You know? If you can't keep a quality up, well, guess what? Ease off some of the titles. Let the creators concentrate. That's what Rucka, from what I gather, was saying. Hey, let me put this out. It'll be great if you just give me the time and the energy to do it. And people come back. I think we talked a little bit about if DC would have just kept Secret Six around, here we go again. We would have been, nope, not going to say it. Let's just say that, you know, if they wanted to charge a little more for the book, maybe I'd be willing to. If the quality's there and it's not chock full of ads,
right.
Buy the new Hyundai. But, you know.
I hear you. Well, what can we do? We're just comic book fans. All we can do is vote with our dollars or lack of dollars. Whichever the case may be.
Free Cyclops.
Yay.
Free I'm making shirts.
Hey, that could be another title for Marvel. Yeah.
Free Cyclops.
Free Cyclops book.
Oh, man. You know, I'd like to see him lead a renegade team.
I would, too. That's what I'm hoping for. A sort of group of angry X-Men that are angry about this whole situation and refuse to be aligned with Avengers or even the X-Men who are aligned with them. Just a total rogue group of X-Men. Might happen.
Maybe.
All right. Well, we're getting to our time limit, peoples. And be sure to go online, stashmycomics.com. That is the best place that you can go to database, what do you call it?
To catalog your comics?
Yes, what you said. Catalog your comic books for free. I'm sorry, my Slurpee is gone. And
I've got plenty. I bought the Super Gulp, so I'll help you out there. If you want to go catalog your comics, please go to stashmycomics.com. They're awesome, nice folks. Keep track, you know, keep better track of your comics so that, you know, you don't have to go through digging at them. You can reference them on the fly.
Right.
You know,
and
good
listen,
stuff.
Yeah. And listen to the other podcast that we are friends with, the StashMyComics.com official podcast. And also support your local comic book shop. We support ours, which is BNDComics.com.
Gotta love Log Cabin.
Love the Log Cabin.
Southwest Virginia. Well, I just get home to Louisiana or something. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
All right, guys. Be good. Read some comics. Hit us up on the comments. We'll see you next episode. Bye-bye. Ha 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 ha.